Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Fadl al-Ibadati fil Harji wa huwa al-Ikhtilat wal-Fitan wa Nahwiha. The chapter on the virtue of worship at times of turbulence, such as confusion, corruption, etc. Here Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has translated as Ikhtilat, as turbulence, confusion, corruption. Allama Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi has translated this word as garbar. What is meant by this harj as being garbar is that when the new fitna start coming, what normally would be a person's condition, that level of yaksuviyat, that level of devotion, that now starts getting affected by all the different fitna that are coming. And what it does, it affects the environment around him. And as a result, that level of devotion that he's supposed to be having in his ibadat now gets affected, becomes topsy-turvy, the environment around him, and now it starts affecting him. But despite that, this person, he is still devoted as far as his ibadat is concerned, therefore there is great virtue in this. So although outside environment is not good, this person still is very, very firm, he still maintains his ibadat, he still maintains his level of devotion. This is something that is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, this hadith is mentioned in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu was asked that what is the worst fitna? What is the worst type of trial? So he replied, Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu replied, that good and evil is presented to you and you do not know which of them to follow. Good and evil is presented to you, but in such a manner it is presented to you that you do not know which to follow. In other words, the evil also is made to appear good. In that time, in that confusion, in that trial, this is what one of the explanations of fitna is, things become confused, things become mixed up. Things that we always knew, we knew something is right and we knew something was wrong, but the way it is presented, the way it is made to appear, it now suddenly appears to be good. So therefore, a person that it is presented to, he is confused, what is right, what is wrong. So this is harj, this is what we explained, that the turbulence that is coming in, and the fitna that is coming in, that confuses people. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave great virtues for a person that despite the outside fitnas and tribulations and evil, this person is still firm on his deen. So this one hadith we'll do, which is one hadith that Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought under this chapter, but it explains the great reward for a person who remains on original Islam, he remains on original deen, he remains on the original way. He doesn't get swayed like how the foam on the ocean gets swayed and moved by all the fitnas that are taking place around him. And Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-ibadatu fil harji ka hijratin ilayya rawahu Muslim. Hazrat Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, engaging in worship during turbulent, we explained the tafsir or the translation by Allama Kashmir rahmatullah alayhi, garbar, during turbulent times, is like emigrating to me. So here you find that in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara, now whoever accepted Islam in Makkah Sharif, one of the conditions for the completion of the acceptance of the iman and takmeel, in other words, the condition for the acceptance of the accepting Islam and for the purposes of completing that iman that they have accepted, they also had to make hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. They couldn't just accept Islam and stay in Makkah, because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made hijrah to Medina already. Now if you accepting Islam in Makkah al-Mukarrama, one of the conditions for that acceptance of your Islam is that you must make hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara, as well as for you to complete that accepting of Islam, you must also come to Madinatul Munawwara. So for actually two reasons. One is for the acceptance and one is for the completion of that accepting of Islam. You must make hijrah to Madinatul Munawwara. So it is a very great thing. Person accepting Islam is great, and now he's completing that acceptance by leaving Makkatul Mukarramah, leaving his homeland and coming to Madinatul Munawwara was a very great thing. So in understanding that virtue in this light, we'll understand what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that engaging in worship during turbulent times is like emigrating to me. In other words, coming to me, making hijrat and coming to me. Such a great thing. We all like to go to Madinatul Munawwara. And this is a time after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine making hijrat and making, leaving one's homeland and going to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Therefore you find in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned a true muhajir, a true emigrant, the person that leaves his homeland and makes hijrat. The true emigrant is one who abandons that which Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. Now just coming back to this fitna that we're speaking about, there's so much of it that's appearing, especially in today's time and in our age, that where wrong gets made to appear as something good. In the old days, a person would know, even a simple person would know, that any gathering where men and women are mixed, it is not permissible, it's not allowed at all in Islam. Any gathering wherein there any type of haram taking place, it's not permissible. And if we had to hear that there is a bank that is sponsoring an event, a Muslim in his right mind wouldn't even go into that gathering. And if we come to know that there's a TV channel, there's a DSTV channel that's sponsoring an event, then a Muslim won't even go near it. He knew, the ulama were very clear, that this is not a place where we go, and it's not a place where ladies also should go. Recently there was an event, many people would have heard about it, but in the convention center in Johannesburg, Sandton Convention Center, complete ladies and men, completely mixed to such an extent that the MC on the stage also was a lady. So now what happens, before one word is spoken, already by the fact that you got a riba institute, a bank that is sponsoring the event, already you've watered down, woe with Allah Ta'ala, riba, by having a bank sponsoring that event. All banks, conventional banks, if you look at their income statement, you'll find that majority of the income, by their own audited financial statements, is income generated from interest and interest-related activities. How can they be sponsoring an Islamic event? So already watering down riba, woe with Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then another sponsor is who? A DSTV channel. So already watering down television before a word is spoken, then men and women are together, lady, MC is a lady, woman speakers. So what we've done, already the laws of parda, we've watered it down completely. And we've watered down this the effects of intermingling. So feminism is already present without us even realizing. So you see wrong upon wrong upon wrong before one word is spoken. And we see what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged, that it's best for a woman to read salah in the innermost recess of her home. They're talking about salah. Yes, she's coming out to a convention center, mixing with the men. How can we ever think of drawing the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And it is presented as something Islamic. And this is what is referred to as harj. When things start getting confusing, things start getting mixed up, we're presenting it as Islam, we're championing the cause of the people of Gaza. Another way of thinking about it, if you ask all the men and all the ladies, that we're going to do a million men nude march. In other words, to gain maximum exposure of the media, we'll ask all the men and all the ladies to march nude. Why? Because in favor of Gaza, to see how we can create support for Gaza. Will that be permissible? Will that be something that we should be praising? So if it's not permissible to do a nude march, how can we ever say it's permissible for ladies and men together and to create something, create an MC as a lady, and then we say we're championing the cause of Gaza? So this is what the confusion will come about. It will be made to appear something very, very good, a cause that is very effective, but actually all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being floundered. All the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being trampled and smashed. This ayat of the Quran, as Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullah alayhi explained so nicely, that وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that authority you're looking for. You want to be victorious. All the believers want to be victorious. Which Muslim doesn't want to be victorious? Which Muslim would not like to champion the cause of Gaza and the people of Palestine and all the Muslims of the world? But the condition is إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, that you must become true believers. You must obey all the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the commands and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah ta'ala will give you that victory. Allah ta'ala will give you that authority that you're looking. Allah ta'ala will give you that heights that you want. Antumul a'lon. But what is the condition? In kuntum mu'mineen. But what we are doing today, we are flouting the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are flouting the ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we think we are championing the causes of Gaza and the people of other Muslims that are suffering throughout the world. So therefore a Muslim has to think, that am I doing what is required? A nice example that is given, person is taking a train and is going to Cape Town. But he says, I'm intending, my intention is to go to Johannesburg. It doesn't matter what intention he's got. He's going to end up in Cape Town. He's not going to end up in Johannesburg. So we have to take the right train. We have to use the right means. We have to do what Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants us to do. Then we'll be successful in our ways. Otherwise, what we will be doing is we'll just be confusing the Ummah. We'll be confusing people, the masses. We'll be championing, so to speak, the cause of Gaza, but sampling all the laws of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which has absolutely no merit. There's no goodness in such a cause when a person is using, employing the wrong means to try and get to some other objective, to try and reach some other goal. He'll never ever achieve it because he's using the wrong means. One poetry just to finish and terminate. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi, he would quote this very often, this poetry, and it's so true. He said, "Ye kaisa inqilab hai, dekhe dil kabab hai, kehte hai ke ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein." He says, what a somersault has occurred in the community. What a somersault has occurred in a community. Such a somersault. In other words, what we regarded as wrong before suddenly is being regarded as good, as a cause that we're championing. What was evil before suddenly, overnight, is being regarded as good. So he said, Dekhe dil kabab hai. The pious are looking and seeing what's happening to the Islam and the deen of the people. Sometimes a person comes from overseas, and he now talks in flowery languages and he gives a flowery tone. Although Zahiran also, his dressing is against Sharia, his outward appearance against Sharia, the way his mannerism in conducting his photographs with females, etc., all completely against Sharia. But now we see it as something good. A person is worthy of speaking to ulama, and now he can come and address Islamic scholars also. Why? Because the fact that he's coming from a foreign country. So here he says, Dekhe dil kabab hai, the pious, the Allah walas, their heart is actually roasting like roast kebab. When they're seeing what's happening around, their hearts are roasting like roast kebab. Dekhe dil kabab hai, kehte hai ke ab sawab hai. Now these people that are introducing all these wrongs and all the fitnas, what they're saying, that this is now sawab. That what we regarded as wrong before, they're saying, was now sawab. And this poet now uses two examples. Sood me or qimar me. He used the example of interest and he used the example of gambling. What we knew was haram, these people now are coming and telling us it's halal. And not only telling us it's halal, kehte hai ke ab sawab hai. They're now telling us even sawab to do this. So look what a change. We're seeing it all around us. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah Ta'ala protect me. The thing that we need now nowadays to do is stick to original Islam. What our ulama have been telling us all this while. What's wrong is wrong, what's right is right. Remember, if nobody in the whole world is doing it, if it's right, it will still remain right. Even though everyone else is doing, sometimes we get swayed by numbers, sometimes we get swayed by crowds. This shouldn't worry us at all. What should sway us is it in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, in the pleasure of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not the number of people that are doing it. So for example, our ulama in the past told us to stay away from television. We will stay away from television at all costs. They told us to stay away from interest. We stay away from interest and interest riba institutes at all costs. They told us to stay away from intermingling. We stay away from intermingling at all costs. Like that, they told us to stay away from photography. We stay away from photography at all costs. We stick to original Islam. New people will come with new ideas. But what we have to remember is we have to go backwards in order for us to go forward. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanaka rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.